I'm Stefan Yah on Yahweh.name, and we're going to talk about immerse and baptize today. Yes, in the past I did a program, and I listened to it years later, and I thought, what in the world? I never got to telling you how to do it. So let's start off with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. That's chapter 4, verse 7 of the 2 Corinthians in the Brit Kadashah. This is the New Testament reading now. And Paul is writing. It's from the King James Version. Sometimes I use the Tree of Life Version from Rome, Georgia, which really does justice to the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, and Torah and everything. Does really a pretty good job. 2 Corinthians, now are you there? Regarding this earthen vessel of our body and our soul, or rather our spirit, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of Yahweh the Sovereign, and not of us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of the Sovereign One, and not of us. So, when we speak of baptism or immersion, not mikveh, but tubal, rakats, it is best to have many come to the immersion, have many believers and people of all types, so they can witness the transformation. When a person begins to repent, confess, and to testify what the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit of Yahweh, has done, there ought to be as many as possible around who can witness this, and if possible, see the transformation happening by the Ruach HaKadosh. It's a growing process. It doesn't instantly cause us to magically or somehow or another become 100% better. Well, it is not absolutely necessary to have an elder or pastor present to do the officiating. It would be advisable. But if nobody is available, let Messiah immerse you. And that was my personal experience when I was immersed a few years ago. Let Messiah immerse you, then you can immerse your brother and the whole congregation. And I just wanted you to know that there doesn't have to be a chain of command where the elder, the apostle, or a pastor, or a bishop, or whatever, an elder, chief, or longtime leader. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way. It could be almost anyone who could assist in this baptism of the candidate. How wonderful it is to be immersed into the Messiah. And I'm going to be repeating some of this information here about the scriptures, by the way. So it's not a mistake, but I'm going to repeat that for emphasis, because we need to be reminded of the things here that I'm going to be reading from the scriptures. Although there are many examples in the book of John on baptism, and also in the book of Acts, the Messiah, Yahusha, there are many examples of how to baptize, Father, Son, and Spirit. But Messiah, Yahusha, is the one who immerses and baptizes us. And we must be willing at that time, or prior to that time, I should think, to make a lifetime covenant commitment to the Father through the Son, Yahusha, a lifetime commitment to Yahweh. When there is no other baptized man to lead the baptism, Yahusha, Messiah, will baptize us if we ask him. And it simply involves going down into the water. It would be helpful, again, to have one person to accompany the one out into the water so there's no accidents. And so have the assistant walk out there with you, and to make sure that the one can, the participant can go all the way under the water safely and hopefully come back up safely. Be sure the one is in modest, appropriate clothing, without glasses or wallet or pictures. Nothing external like that that you could lose. I've seen a woman lose the glasses, and even though we had a fairly shallow river, we never were able to find those glasses again. And there should be a crowd who can hear the testimonies being said. The assistant can ask the one to say why he wants to be immersed, why he wants to be baptized, and to testify of some of his past sins without getting too specific into, especially into sexual sins, and then later testify that he is thankful after the immersion. He is thankful for having his or her past sins washed away by the blood of Yahushua Messiah. And some use different names and titles for the Messiah other than Yahushua. But that is what we use here. And we do not baptize normally in the title of the Father, Son, and the Ruach HaKadosh, or Holy Ghost, or Spirit. Those are only titles. The suggested way, it's a suggested way, this is not a cut and dried formula. This is my suggestion to how the baptism might be. And then I'll just use for myself, I'm going to use the word self. I myself, am being immersed in the watery grave by the death and the resurrection of Yahushua Messiah. All of my past sins that are repented of are now being forgiven by his blood that was shed and by the washing of the water and the word. All of my future sins must be individually repented and forgiven. My future sins are not being forgiven at this time. I do not trust in any works of my own to be saved, for I believe what the scripture says, for by faith we are saved by unmerited favor or grace, that we are saved not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah unto good works. Now, you're not going to remember all that word for word, but that was an example I gave you what you might say. And I'll repeat this later, but I'm being immersed in the watery grave by the death and the resurrection of Messiah. All my past sins are being washed away. All my future sins must be individually repented of and forgiven. I do not trust in any works of my own to be saved. In Yahushua's name, or in Messiah's name, praise Yah. Thank you, Father, for saving me. So we're going to the water, and a fairly stable platform there, or situation in the water. We don't want to go out to anywhere really dangerous where someone could lose their life. But even though we die spiritually to ourselves, but with witnesses, go under the water, and as you come up again, testify in general terms, of course, or a few specifics, what sins you may have committed. For example, I could give you an example of idolatry, that I was, say, guilty of worshiping Baal and putting up a Christmas tree and the Ashtoreth Easter egg thing there, hiding Easter eggs outside the church on Saturday morning. I was into Baal worship with the trappings of that. I wasn't aware of it, but that it was Baal worship or that it was idolatry. But I repent of those things. I'm not going back to doing those things. I was just a really a creep. But now Messiah is really renewing me. And partly it might be my own effort, but mostly it is the Spirit of Yahweh who is doing the transformation, the Spirit, or the Ruach HaKadosh, commonly called the Holy Ghost. So I'm being removed from all that bondage, and even religious bondage, by keeping the customs of man. And all this bondage is being removed by the power of Messiah as I go down into that watery grave. Now, we, of course, have to have the scriptures here, so I'll get those out for you here. And I have it on the computer screen. You don't hear a whole lot of flipping of pages here, but sometimes I do have the scriptures out here. And so we kind of miss that effect, okay? To me, it's important to hear the scriptures turning, but these days we have laptops. So, and also a state license Well, it might be a good idea for tax purposes and what is the word, official purposes or something like that. But a state religious license of any kind is spiritually, it's useless. And forget about all those fancy titles as well upon men that men bestow upon themselves as Grand Apostle Mucky Muck. There's a lot of titles that people put after their names, and I don't disrespect them necessarily for that, but sometimes it just shows you a little bit about them. So the bridegroom is our Messiah, and he is one and the same with the Father. He is the Most High, the Sovereign One. The Sovereign One is Yahweh, and his Son, the bridegroom is Yahusha. He is our husband, and we are doing a like a marriage ceremony. This is an espousal, and I believe the marriage constituting of all the elements will wind up being consummated in New Jerusalem in eternity, in the future, at the wedding supper of the Lamb. So we're going to testify that we repent of all of our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. If we had cheated or lied, well, we might have to make some reparations or pay back for the damage that was done, if possible. We could do that as soon as possible. And so get ready to do some reparations. That is one of the loving laws of Yahweh, found in actually in Exodus 21 or chapter 22. They're about doing reparation if we have done damage to someone else in some way. I'm always looking for somebody out of the past to come back and apologize, and I can keep waiting. They're not going to come forth. Sorry, but I would do that if I were, you know, I'm an honest believer. And I believe that reparations can be made. We can do apologies or offer to pay back. Say if I stole a few cigarettes from my mother's wallet, I'm not going to worry about that too much. But back when I was very, very young as a religious person, but when I was saved, things really changed. And like I say, not instantly, but yeah, you might use the word incrementally, I think I like that. So once again, suggested formula is I'm anonymous here, and I want to confess the power of Yahweh through His Spirit that I have been a jerk, a sinful, disgusting old self. The old self is dying away. Old things are passed away, and all things spiritually in Yahweh are becoming new. And like I said, I'll get to the scriptures. Praise Him for changing my whole life. I am born again. Thank you, Yahweh, through thy Son, that I am really, truly born again, thanks to the offering of Messiah. And praise Yah. Very soon, of course, I want to receive the fullness of the Spirit at a very future date. And receive the, sometimes it would be at the same simultaneous with the immersion. But we want to receive the Ruach HaKadosh, get the fullness of the Spirit, as evidenced there, pointed out in the book of Acts. And that will be the next step. I testify to the power of Yahweh's Son, Messiah, that I am being transformed. Father, thou art stripping away my sinful nature, and I have the newness of life. And that's the example of my testimony, my speech that I would make if I were being immersed. And then we should record that date and place, and even some of the names of those on hand around here at the at this official ceremony. Put that in my files. And the address book, put that date down that I was immersed for the very first time. And then, or put that even in your scriptures, commonly called Bible. We put that in the scripture on the date that we've received Yahweh in the immersion. Now, we didn't get to the scriptures. I feel really guilty. I haven't read them yet, and we're probably 10 minutes into the podcast. I have to check things. Oh, or more than that. Well, immersion, and we're all part of the Bride of Messiah when we enter into this. When we enter into this immersion with Messiah, we become his bride. And a lot of people will try to tell us that this isn't necessary, and they call it works, and so on. So that's later. So after I repent, I repent, and I'm not only sorrowful, but I have a change of heart, and I turn from my dirty deeds of breaking Yahweh's law. And baptizo, number 907, is the Greek word for immersion. And it, and I quote, to make whelmed, that is fully wet, wash, or to, quote, put under. And in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the so-called Old Testament, the word rakats is used in most places referring to this immersion. It's Hebrew 73:64, to lave, L-A-V-E, bathe, wash. And another word is kabas, K-A-W-B-A-S, in the English letter, Roman letters. It's a Hebrew 35:26, kabas, to wash, not sprinkle. To wash, not sprinkle. The majority of Hebrew words to wash, bathe, are rakats and kabas. And another one is tubal, T-U-B-A-L, A-L, that is used in connection with the cleansing of a believer. In Hebrew. And don't forget baptizo, number 907 in Greek. Scripture is commanding us to be immersed. Now, here we go, finally, with the... now I'm getting more relaxed because I'm trusting in the power of Yahweh here as we read the Word, going to Mark 16:16. And some of these people would say, oh, that's the same. I've heard that before. I don't have to do that, but it's Yahweh is sovereign. It's his word. And it's very final or dogmatic. It is a teaching of Yahweh. One of the Torah laws is to be immersed. Mark 16:16. Messiah speaks, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, in that second part of the sentence, the word baptism was not mentioned, and so that they think that they found a loophole there. But no, it all goes together. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Of course, if you don't believe, why would you be baptized anyway? So it doesn't have to be mentioned every single time. James 2:19. About belief. The devils just believe. And it says, thou believest that there is one Elohim. There is one creator, one master. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But thou wilt know, vain man, vain person, that faith without works is dead. James wrote that in James 2:19. And the way that is worded, it reminds me of a lot of people today, that some people anyway today, they don't tremble. But here it says the devils believe and tremble. We need to, what is it like to tremble? You could do a whole homily on that, a whole sermon on trembling before Yahweh. Yes, the realization, the awesome presence of Yahweh is here, Jehovah Shammah. Faith without works is dead, so yes, we do need to do the commandments, statutes, and judgments in the New Testament called good deeds, good works. Faith without works is dead. So some people criticize that. No, that's work salvation, they say. Well, don't listen to that siren there, because it's conflicting with Scripture. Faith without works is dead. I wouldn't throw out any part of the book of James. What was wrong with with him when he had a problem with works in James. You know who I'm talking about, Luther. But in Matthew 28:19, Messiah said, "Go therefore and teach all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son." So not in the title, but in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the pure Ruach HaKadosh. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you," Messiah said. "And lo," and not just in the Gospels, but throughout the Scripture, "and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That was Matthew 28. Oh, it was, 28:19 and 20. 28, chapter 28 there, 19 and 20. "Go and teach all nations," he says to the emissaries or apostles, baptizing them and in the name of the Father. So in the name of Yahweh and of Yahushua the Son and of the pure Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. Then one of the most important citations or scriptures is Acts 2:38 regarding this doctrine or teaching. Doctrine is not a bad word. Not even the word religion. The word religion is used in the book of James, chapter 5. The care and feeding of orphans and keeping oneself unspotted from the world is pure religion. Or, it means walking with Yahweh in pure faith. Acts 2:38, "Then Peter," or Kepha, "said unto them, Repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahushua Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the pure Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh." So that's Acts 2:38. And some will try to find a pretext to an excuse, an alibi, and say, "Well, I'm a Baptist, I don't have to do that." No, sorry guys, but 2 Kings 5:13. I know some really great people from that denomination, and it says in 2 Kings 5:13 regarding an immersion. I think it is. Yes, it is. Okay, and also the one in Joshua, is it? "And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bidden thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of Yahweh," or Elohim, "and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." So the leprosy departed from this person, from this true believer in Yahweh. 2 Kings 5:13. And then to follow that up, I'm following it up with Luke 7. "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified Yahweh, being immersed with the immersion of John the Baptist. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of Yahweh against themselves, being not baptized of him." Well, there is a growing apostasy. We hopefully are nearing the end. And baptism is the teaching of, and the practice of baptism is decreasing in importance around in the religious world. Most, or many ministers anyway, ministers minimize baptism to avoid controversy and being unpopular with the congregation. But our lives are in jeopardy. The real question, well, the real question that some ask is, how far can I go to get away with, I only need to believe, what's the very least I can get by with? And then they might even add, the preacher would on the religious radio station would say, baptism is works. I'm not saved by works. And then they say, we don't need to quote them too much. Baptism is a work only of Messiah. That's what we say. Baptism is only from and into Messiah. He immerses us into his life, death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and Now, that's really, here's where the tire really meets the cement. We really engage here throughout the clutch. Moreover, brethren, I declare you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand by, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, Paul said, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered first of all unto you that which I also received, how that first Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we read the Scriptures, Matthew chapter 12, 38, and Matthew 28, 1, we find out that Messiah was definitely dead in the grave 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. And it says in Romans 10, 9, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Messiah rose from was dead and he rose from the grave, then we shall be saved. And I'm just quoting that off of the top of my head, but Romans 10, 9 is another one that should be there. As we covenant in this marital relationship with Yahweh, praise him. 1 Corinthians 15, 4, that Messiah was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Once we read these Scriptures, the truth is clear. It is the truth. And we are convinced and convicted. But some might try to still hedge around the issue of baptism, and they'll say, well, I heard a good pastor once say, I'm not worried about the level of water in the baptismal, inferring that a little font would be sufficient with a few inches of water. I'm sorry, but yeah, that's what he was inferring, and this infant baptism and so on, well, that would be a dedication of the child. When the child is first born, then you bring the child out, and you could throw a little, don't put holy water, that's bad, but I'd have to explain that to you, but you could put some water on the child, or some olive oil would be better, and then anoint them in the name of Yahweh. But that's not an immersion. They need to make up their own mind later if they want to be immersed into Yahweh and make a full commitment. And man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word of Yahweh. That's found in Luke 4:4 and Matthew 4:4. So man is not to live by just here and there, just a little bit of Scripture here and there, but by every word of Yahweh. Well, except for the sacrifices, and possibly except for the death penalty, we're going to live by all the words that Yahweh has given us here to live by in our spiritual life and our journey. So 1 Peter talks about baptism again. Kepha, or 1 Peter 3:20. Speaking of Noah, who was in Noah's ark there, going back to Genesis. Noah, while preparing the ark, there were few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. Would sprinkling have done? No. The like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us by the resurrection of Messiah, the resurrection of Yahusha, Messiah. And I'm going to repeat here, Acts 2:38, now repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh. In the name of Yahusha, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh, that is, the Spirit of Messiah. This is the immersion where Messiah washes away our sins and gives us the gift, what is the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit. I know those who speak in tongues. I know those who could tell you Hebrew forward and read it backwards and forwards, but they don't seem to have the Spirit by their evidence of their life and their testimony. I say some of them. I don't say all of them are like that. I see people who don't speak in tongues and who don't know very much Hebrew who appear to have received the Spirit. They're living the life that is from the Torah, the Scriptures, as best as they understand it and as best as they know. And they do it a lot stronger than most of us. The Ruach HaKadosh, the pure spirit, the spirit of the pure spirit, spirit of separation, separation from that carnal world. That's the adjective I wanted to use, carnal. We want to get out away as far as we can, at least symbolically from the world. Acts chapter 10, verse 43, now in the book of Acts, and all his house were immersed. Acts 18, verse 8 was the one. All his house were immersed. No, not the house itself. And 10:43, 18:8, and chapter 19 in the book of Acts, as well as other places, Acts 2, 38, and so on. And now, here's another favorite of mine of Romans chapter 6. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Yahushua Messiah, that were baptized into his death? Yes, as our carnal nature is being stripped away. For some it might be instantaneous. I'm only speaking from experience, but I've heard from some that their whole outlook on life, everything seemed to have changed right at that time, and they gave up all the bad stuff, eating pork and everything. They didn't have a Christmas tree once a year, which is idolatry. We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Messiah was raised up from the dead by the majesty of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, and this is still Romans 6, that our old man is impaled or crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free, spiritually dead, is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. He rose from the grave, I say. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he, the Messiah, lives, he lives unto Yahweh. Or it says there in the King James, God, or a little plainer would be Elohim. And then I just substitute Yahweh in there. We're talking about... or we're speaking about Yahusha. After you have received baptism, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed, dead unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh through Yahusha our Master. So that takes a reading and understanding and cogitating about Romans 6, 7, and chapter 8. It is such a clear, a dynamic picture of overcoming sin. Now our response to Yahweh's word is complete. Up to this point, a step of obedience, and that is of not sinning. Be immersed in Yahusha, in obedience. We are only accountable for what we can do, of course. The pretext by some is, well, what about the thief on the tree next to Messiah? The thief likely was immersed already, not in this New Testament fashion, but he was likely, if he was living in the land, then he was probably Jewish or of the tribe of Israel, nation of Israel. It's unlikely that this thief was just Gentile. If he were, the Jews would have had little to say in this Roman execution of the Messiah and the two thieves in that account. At the end of the book of Matthew, the end of the book of Luke would be the best. You cannot live in Israel without being circumcised, at least these days, not ceremonially, without being ceremonially circumcised. But we do recommend, This for Men. It's the Abrahamic covenant, and it's very healthy. So that began that thief on the tree knew about immersion. He knew, but he was unable to get down and get immersed. And he knew who Messiah is. He knew he is the Son of the Father. But some will still say, but I'm not worried about how much water is in the baptismal. Oh, John chapter 3. Does that mean water? Let's see. Let's have a look here at John chapter 3. And the Hebrew word means to immerse. The Hebrew word rakats, or tubal, or that other word. So how can a little sprinkling get the job done? I do believe that there is some external involved, some physical thing involved in being a believer. After all, committing a sin involves a physical act if we commit sin. And by praising Him, that's also, we lift up our hands, we kneel, we sit, we pray, we tithe, we to one another, we bless others. So here's John chapter 3. Thank you, Gene. And so there is the account in John chapter 3, Messiah with Nicodemus. And he was a prospect here. And asked many questions to Messiah. I'll start at verse 13. Messiah speaks, "And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Yahweh sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They loved darkness rather than light. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in Yahweh." So there's nothing wrong with good works, good deeds, the commandments of Yahweh. Of course, there's everything good about it. So Nicodemus, at the beginning of this chapter, came unto Messiah by night, said that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except Yahweh be with him. Yes, they are recorded in Scripture, the many mighty miracles of Yahushua the Son, and he was fulfilling the book of the prophecy in the book of Isaiah, Yeshayahu, and many other prophetic books and words and Scriptures. And Messiah answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of Yahweh." And then Nicodemus asked about that. How could you be born again when you're, out of his mother's womb? Messiah said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Or some use the expression, "born from above." I guess that's okay. Maybe. "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes." What's wind made of? "And whither it goes, so is every one that is born of the Spirit." So we can't put it into a test tube or under a microscope or an electronic instrument. We can't see wind unless there's dust mixed in with it, or sand, or rocks, or something, or smoke. Perhaps we could see it with an instrument, but But indeed, there is wind. And praise Yah. So there's a good teaching there. Mark 16:16 again. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. So do we only have to believe? We don't want to argue with Scripture. James 2:19. Thou believest that there is one, Yahweh. Thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. The demons believe too, so that they... So are they saved if they believe? No. Are you crazy? You can't be immersed by being sprinkled. Be immersed under the water, if at all possible, in the name of Yahweh. Now, how about the woman in the hospital bed who is dying and she can't go to the baptismal? There's another alibi, I guess. Well, perhaps Yahweh will provide a way, but probably that the preacher will come in and pray with her, that she be immersed into the name of Yahweh. And if he wants to anoint her with oil at that time, that would be appropriate. And just believe that Yahweh has and is and has saved her. Luke 7:30, the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of Yahweh against themselves, being not baptized of him. We're going to quote more scriptures to bring a further witness here at YahwehYahweh.name. This ministry does not teach that people who find it impossible to be baptized will be damned, that they will be lost, that they'll go to hell. We don't teach that. Scripture does not discuss such possibilities, all these exceptions to the rules. It clearly shows that Yahweh is merciful, not wishing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. If you're actively repenting of sins, which you study into as you study the law and the 1,000 commandments in the New Testament as well, and actively repenting of sins that you know about, you'll be on the right track and the correct course towards the Savior, the captain of this great ship. Hallel to Yahweh. So if the person in the faith has lived and studied the Word, he or she will find the nearest opportunity to submit themselves to our Master's commands, including baptism. If he quibbles that maybe he can just get by being sprinkled or not being immersed at all, then his position with the Creator might be in jeopardy. Colossians 2:12. You have been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of Yahweh, who raised him from the dead. So there's another witness for you. The authority of Scripture is speaking to us, and we hope that you're being convinced today. We'll leave it to the Spirit to convict you of whether or not the words spoken here are true. The imperative again, Matthew 28:19, go and make emissaries of all nations, immersing them in the name or into the name of the Father, now that's Yahweh, and of the Son, where here we use Yahusha, some use Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKadosh, not the title of, but the Ruach HaKadosh, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Matthew 28. And so I gave you those words, those Hebrew words, at the very beginning here, somewhere. Let's see if I can... Well, you can look back at my article on the internet, YahwehYahweh.name. That was the word rakats, to lave, bathe, wash, and kabas. So rakats and kabas and to bowl. And kabas, to wash, not sprinkle. Wash, bathe, and to bowl. Okay. And that is from the Hebrew text. Now, symbolically speaking now, and by the way, the word mikveh there that is commonly used by some Jews is Hebrew 47:23 in the Strong's Concordance, 47:23. Mikvah refers to spooling yarn. Huh? See 1 Kings 10:28. and also 2 Corinthians 1:16. It only means to gather something together, pool as of linen or yarn. And it's also used in the book of Genesis in a number of places. But for the most part, the three Hebrew words and the Greek word baptizo, or baptismo, I think it is, were the four words from Scripture, from the text, from the underlying Scripture, and not mikveh. And also Elia.com has that same teaching there, a gentleman from Missouri, on E-L-I-Y-A-H, Elia.com. So symbolically speaking, let me quote something about emblems, tokens, and signs from the Random House Dictionary. Symbols are something used for or regarded as representing something else. And we're almost to the end here now. Just a few minutes to go, I think, having gone about 45 or more minutes, more or less. Random House says often representing something else, often something immaterial, emblem, token, or sign. So immersion or baptism is like this symbolism. We are told that we come out of the water having been baptized, and we are a new person spiritually. Yes, I can't even imagine the kind of person that I used to be. But Yahweh has given him the credit and the majesty and the praise and the worship for having changed our old self. So that symbolized that we have died, the baptism symbolized we have died to our old self, and now we live in a different life than before. We are no longer supposed to do what we thought was the right thing by the old way of thinking, but we have to learn new ways to think and behave, and been told the correct things from the Scriptures that we read John 3:3 and Romans 6:1 through 11. So what are the things that have been told? Matthew 3 is another reference here. Matthew 3, Yochanan the Immerser said to repent, and then he would have baptized those who did so. The Messiah said it also when he told his emissaries to go into all the world and preach this in Matthew 28, and repent and be baptized there. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the pure Spirit. But there are also more things that should be done. When we realize that we need to repent of our sins and be immersed, we also need to know that there will be a burden of some kind for each of us to bear. So, if we're sincere, count the cost, as Messiah taught us in Luke chapter 9 or Matthew 10 and Matthew 16. Count the cost. Shaul, or Paul, describes it in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, I looked that one up there. I'll give this to my wife, Jean. 1 Corinthians 15:21. Our Savior described it as having life abundantly in the book of John 10:10 and in John 12:25. He said, if you hate your life in this world, if you hate your life in this world, then you will keep your life. We are to be obedient daily, as we are called to be, and keep these things in our mind. Some other scriptures, 1 Peter 4:12, and also the first chapter of Peter, I think it is. And so here is the 1 Corinthians 15 now, as I turn to that 15:21-31. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Messiah the first fruits, or Yahusha. Afterward they that are Messiahs, at his coming. Not when they die, but at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The trial is the purification of us, which is to come in this life for the eternal one. You can find out more about that in 1 Corinthians 3:13, also in Revelation 3:18. And then flipping back to Zechariah 13:7 through 9. In John 5, the Messiah said to search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And then suggested here in this article here, written for me by a friend, 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read a portion of that, or it says 1 through 16. And I'm reading from an old King James Version with very fine print. Let's see if I can. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not to, Paul says, with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Yahweh, I determined not to know anything among you, save the Messiah and him impaled. Now, there's a misconception about that verse, because somebody will say, well, I just know Jesus. And see, they're not thinking about that being aware of what Messiah Yahusha told us to do, with all of his commands, instructions, and honey-do list, honey do this and honey do that, because we are the bridegroom. Because he is the, I keep saying that all the time, but he is the bridegroom and we are the bride. I know that, but I always say it backwards. And then verse 3, when I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom and in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, you mean he didn't go to a seminary? That's right. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Yahweh. But we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of Yahweh in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which Yahweh ordained before the world unto our favor. Put there, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have impaled Yah, the Mighty One of Majesty. They wouldn't have impaled the Messiah. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. But Yahweh has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of Yahweh. Oh, by the way, most revelation comes through the Word, not out of thin air. Okay. And then verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of Yahweh knows no man but the spirit of Yahweh. And I could add to my statement there that that it is the Spirit that helps us to understand the Scripture, not to interpret it in some other way, in some weird, uncanny way, but in perverted ways, but no, to know Yahweh. For it says here in the last verse, for who has known the mind of Yahweh, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. Now, how do we have the mind of Messiah? We've read it. He says, behold, I am contained in the volume of the book. So that's it. That's all he has written. A dear, close one of mine gave me an alibi that it is what it is, she said. And I'm thinking, well, that's saying that I don't want to change at all. I would come up with a different motto. It isn't what it was. Or if that sounds confusing, that's a, it is what it was not. In other words, I'm not what I used to be since I came to the Messiah. All things about behavior and my mindset are new. The old carnal self is dead, or at least in the process of being dead. But in the Spirit, I'm a new creature. I don't know about this teaching that when we are saved, the old carnal self is still there. Period. No, I don't think that the old carnal self, when we are saved, the spirit has, you know, we've become born again by the spirit of Yahweh. And when we have the fullness of the spirit, why would there be any, the old self still being there that needs to be, it's just our habits that need to be stripped away. And we need to enter into Messiah and into the Spirit, as it were, to walk with Him and to know what the Word says, to hear the preaching of Yahweh. Faith comes by hearing the Word of Yahweh. Another religious phrase is works salvation. I think I covered that a little bit. And this is not for you new believers, but you'll turn on the religious radio stations and they say, well, we're not saved by works. That's works salvation. But actually, the Word says that these works are wrought in Yahweh, like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Messiah unto good works. The good works, of course, keeping His commandments, statutes, and judgments, keeping the feast days, and not bringing any unclean thing, not bringing that into our body. And in the book of Acts, somewhere around Acts 11 or Acts 15, it says Paul at that time gave these new believers four rules to abstain from blood, fornication, and then the two other things there. But anyway, to abstain from blood was one of them. The works of the flesh don't save anyone, but righteous works and righteous deeds, they don't save either, but they are giving a beautiful fragrance of our life. For we are as a heavenly, let's see, Romans chapter 12 says that be not transformed by the world, but be transformed by the word of Yahweh. And I'm reading from Romans 11 there. That would be the being grafted in to the good olive tree. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies, so there it is, in the physical form, present your bodies a living sacrifice, pure, acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yahweh. And that's in Romans 12. And it applies to all, for Yahweh's word, line upon line, here a little, there a little bit, it certainly concerns all the word of Yahweh. And if you were to go through a verse-by-verse study, beginning in the book of John, and then go back, perhaps, to the Torah, in the book of Exodus, and make a study of that starting at Exodus chapter 20, you would begin to get a fullness of what Yahweh's word is really all about. And if you were to tune into our website, www.yahvahyahweh.name, that's www.yahvahyahweh.name. And you could look at some of the other articles on there and hear some of the other files. And they're not the last word, and because no man is infallible on this earth, so not everything is 100% perfect. But I think it'll help guide. It'll be a guide. And then as you read the word and ask the pure spirit to help you grow, and you will mature in Messiah by reading the word and also by hearing the word. Try to find a good assembly. But anyway, more of that later as you surf around and find more information there. Our email, by the way, if you'd want to drop me a line, is stephanyah@yahvahyahweh.name. And there's also the button, the contact button that you can push on the internet there. And So I invite you to be a part of the ministry here by participating in writing an email. We really do need to know if these MP3s are doing you any good. I have no way to monitor that to find out who listens or how many times to any of these files. I've produced over 200 files, and each one of those took 6 hours to produce. That's a lot of time that I've invested in here, of thousands of hours of time. And we could minister locally to people without using the internet, but without MP3s, without the audio files. But if it's a blessing to you, then please go to our main page, our home page of YahvehYahweh.name, and scroll down on the right hand side near the bottom. There's some little voting boxes there, and vote whether or not you want to you'd like us to continue making these podcasts. And you could vote yes or unsure. If you, that would even help if you said you were unsure. And email us as well if you would like at the Stephanyah, Stephanyah, at YahvehYahweh.name. And that would really help so that I would be able to ascertain more what programs and how I'm supposed to keep ministering here on the internet. If I'm just supposed to do the text only and the teaching on there, or keep what we have, or add something new, all these suggestions from you might help, and we'll certainly take that into account. So thank you for joining us and letting us be a part of your Sabbath life today. And we're blessed that Yahweh has brought us all to this place, and that hopefully now we'll be able to minister better to one another, having defined on about salvation. You know, hey, wait a minute now. There's one thing I forgot about salvation that's missing in that article, and so far in this podcast, was the New Covenant in Hebrews 8:10 and also chapter 10, verse 16. That this is the covenant that I will make with Israel and the house of Judah, that I will write my laws upon their hearts and minds, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. So the new covenant is very, very important, very imperative that we keep the, and that we're grafted into Yahweh's, into Yahweh and Yahusha and the good olive tree. And so once again, that's Hebrews 8, verse 10. So I better not leave without that. And okay, let's, how about 10 verse 16, since I'm in the 10th chapter of Abram. So making a covenant with Yahweh, and it's a covenant relationship as we become saved and walk in Him. And some Protestant leaders will say, now, Stephanyah is trying to put you under the law, don't listen to him. But I'm quoting from Scripture. Everything is right from the Scripture. So Yahusha, in chapter 10 of Hebrews, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, according to Scripture. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are set apart, whereof the Ruach HaKadosh also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, where did he say before? Jeremiah 31, among other places. Jeremiah 31, it's the same reading now. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws, or his Torah, found in Exodus, basically from chapters 20 to 23, parts or most of Leviticus, except for sacrifices. Those were the added law, the schoolmaster, the Levitical temple laws. So, but all the other scripture in Leviticus, and that's improperly named. It should be Vayikra, but anyway, and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and then all the way through Revelation, the book of the Revelation. Those are our instructions for life. So he said, where was I? The covenant, I will put my laws, or Torah, into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now, where remission or removal of sins, remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, you, speaking to you, having boldness to enter in to the most pure place by the blood of Messiah, by a new and living way, which he has set apart for us. And I quote, through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh, for he died for us on the tree at Calvary, and having a high priest over the, and I added that part, and having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. That goes right along with the theme here that we began with, immerse and be saved, immerse and baptize, be washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that he has promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So there's a lot of instruction. It just goes on and on and on. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for those sins. But you read on there if you like. So let me repeat as I go out the door here of that last wonderful verse there. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Maranatha, may Yahweh come quickly. Thank you very much. Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom.